Hello, this is Don Witt with Channel Daily News from Telecom Reseller. I'm speaking today with Anthony Minasalli II. He is the inventor and original author of Free Switch. How are you doing today, Anthony?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. And prior to getting into ClueCon, which is starting today in Chicago at the Swiss Hotel, I'd like to maybe give people a little bit of background on ClueCon from my perspective. I've actually been in voice over IP since 1999 myself. Started a distribution company called Silogistics and was the first distributor of Digium way back, and that was the first distributor in the world. Back in 2003, 2004, voice over IP really started taking off, and Asterix and Digium were selling quite well. But people really tried to push that technology to the max and use it for things that it really wasn't intended, like for a switch. And along comes Anthony Minasalli in around, I think it's around 2005, 2006. Is that the correct time frame, Anthony?
Yes, that's right.
You basically realized that Asterix wasn't designed to be a switch, and you had the vision and foresight to put together a group to design a switch. And one of the, I have to compliment you on this because it was very visionary, and the way you went about it also was very unique based on history of other open source projects. Before you even started coding, you put together a document and a specification. And how long did that take you guys to do that?
Originally, it probably took about, I'm trying to think, maybe 8 months to 9 months of your just speculation and planning.
And so 9 months going into a year of designing and then actual coding started after that. The first ClueCon was held in 2006, if I'm not mistaken.
It was held in 2005.
2005.
Right in the middle of that period that we're talking about now. So there was no free switch yet at the first ClueCon, but we spent a great deal of time kind of pontificating how we should do things. It's sort of basically born at ClueCon, like the final ideas to get going on it.
For the listener's background, where did the name ClueCon come from?
That came from the open source support community that we had. It was basically IRC and email. Back then for like Asterix and other open source projects that were close to me, we kind of all have the same cross community. And we would try to educate people without, you know, like get a clue. But more like we would have these jokes about getting a clue bat and a clue by four and a hot clue gun. So then we just went with that.
So a little bit more polite than read the manual, but get a clue.
Yeah.
Okay, very nice. So maybe you could give and tell the listeners a little bit more about the origins of Free Switch and from your perspective and why you came up with the idea and where it was coming from.
It kind of started with web hosting, which is where a lot of our current peers kind of originated from as well. It is pretty much a open kind of like the Wild West back then with computers and making services on the Internet back when people weren't even sure if they wanted a website or not. We were going around trying to get people to have websites, you know, convince them they needed one. And then we started doing the mass hosting of websites on a single computer, which kind of had a short-lived heyday until now you see that's like GoDaddy for like $5 a year. You used to be able to charge like 20 bucks a month for that back then. And kind of after that started to phase out, we were moving on to the next thing, and we were working on outsourced tech support in the late 90s, which was a little sooner than it kind of took off more popular. And at that time, we were still trying to establish, you know, kind of pioneering efforts in that. And we had some offices in different parts of the world. We had some in Florida and some in Manila, Philippines. And we were trying to make those call centers united so they could do different shifts depending on where they were. And we needed to have kind of a telephony queuing feature. And back then we kind of had nothing to choose from besides this thing called Televantage that was for Windows. And it was encumbered with licenses and stuff, but every different person you wanted to have times each feature they wanted to have pricing and stuff, and it was a little outside of our budget. And then we started looking for ways to solve the problem, and we found Asterisk along the way. And we used Asterisk to try and prototype some of the functionality we needed to kind of build a call center. And along the way, while developing that, we started running into some issues with it. And basically, we would do our own maintenance. Being open source, you know, we just dug in and figured it out, you know, worked with the community, and they kind of gave us pointers on where to look. And the next thing you know, we're like digging a lot in Asterisk. Really kind of helped get us kind of a background in that, in the kind of coding that was there in Asterisk. And by doing that, I spent about 4 years contributing to the project. I used to author a bunch of features for Asterisk, and we kind of provided things for them, like we would host one of the repos, and we had we would do the support stuff, you know, like voluntarily. We'd have meetings on conference calls and talk about what we should work on, and kind of just general community contribution. And after a few years of doing that, we started getting bigger ideas on stuff, kind of on how to get around the limitations, because some Asterisk being so popular had such a huge demand for always working that some of the changes might have slowed down the progress of the customers and stuff on it. So there's reluctance sometimes to, like, just go sledgehammer out stuff, you know, because they had to keep a functional version for all the users. And we originally were considering just making, like, a some kind of side, you know, Asterisk 2.0 completely outside of Asterisk so that, you know, we could activate some of our ideas in kind of a sandbox. But around that time, they had a bunch of changes and stuff in their organization, and there was not that much of interest in the idea. And then, so I was unable to shake it. So I just figured I have nothing to lose if I go just try writing the code that I had in my head. So we just worked together. I've got my two co-founders actually here with me. I can let them talk on it too after I'm done with this part, but.
If you could introduce them, this is open to them as well.
Okay, I've got Brian West.
Hello, I'm Brian West. I've been working with Anthony for since the beginning, from when we started working with Asterisk. We had joined the community about the same time, and then I started working with him shortly thereafter.
And I've got William King here, who is not quite a co-founder, but he came shortly thereafter once the project was off the ground, and he's been contributing ever since.
Hey, it's William King. I was also from Asterisk, joined just after the public 1.0, and have been working on a lot of engineering integrations and things of Skunkworks types of projects.
And this is Mike Jarris, who is also one of our co-founders.
Greetings. I'm part of the original Core FreeSwitch team, worked on a ton of things with portability, the SIP implementation, all around code.
And there you have it.
Perfect. So let's fast forward here to KluCon 2016. What is this year's event going to focus on? I know that you also are including WebRTC, which is a huge part of future communications and is really starting to actually ramp up. Maybe you could fill us in on a little bit on KluCon this year and a little bit about the WebRTC that you see happening.
Yes, so in the last few years, FreeSwitch has been working on WebRTC endpoint. We have functionality built right in now that can handle audio and video over SIP over WebSockets, and we also created our own protocol called Virto. And what we're doing now is incorporating into KluCon some of the other people that work on the WebRTC project, such as the browser vendors, because now our kind of our breadth has reached into the browser now with HTML5 applications and whatnot that are complementary to FreeSwitch. We have a few reference apps that we have that are part of our tree that we demonstrate how you can communicate with FreeSwitch, and we have a whole bunch of people coming there, you know, to work on interoperability between the various browsers. We have some people from the Edge team coming to announce Microsoft having support for WebRTC in the next version, and we've got someone from Firefox. And so we're going to have a WebRTC roundtable where we kind of just go over things and see what the state is with the WebRTC development, and a bunch of people are there making things out of WebRTC to demonstrate it. And we have, the last 2 years, we've started having the KubeCon Coder Games, which is an expansion of an extra day in the beginning of the conference. It's devoted completely to code competitions and writing code and demonstrating features and functionality. And a lot of that's going to feature WebRTC, as well as some IoT elements and some maker stuff, like 3D printing and working with circuit boards and stuff and open source hardware.
With WebRTC and the integration of WebRTC into FreeSwitch and the phone solution that you're providing, there's also a requirement for carriers that are going to be utilizing the technology to be able to bill for the WebRTC utilization and the communication capabilities. How is that going to be handled?
I think that a lot of the time, the WebRTC community at large does not think about that as much as we do, being a carrier environment. FreeSwitch has always been used for things like that, and one of the challenges that we try and kind of stick up for are those functionalities, because WebRTC, being signal-free, basically only worries about media exchange, and there was an implementation of SIP over WebSockets that kind of still fits the bill for some people to still be able to make calls and whatnot. So in one case, when they do that, they at least have some kind of crippled, not everything about WebRTC at their fingertips, because they'll be limited to what SIP can do, but then that will fit kind of into the same paradigm. But we also, like I mentioned, had our protocol Verso that we made that extends things because it's our own protocol and uses WebSockets and asynchronous communication layer. You can gather more information and whatnot about the call. And you can also, because if you're using FreeSwitch on the server side, you're most likely gatewaying those calls over to traditional TSPN, and FreeSwitch can still house those billing applications like they would have in a normal carrier environment. So it's going to be a lot of work for the guy making the client, because the signaling on WebRTC might not be friendly to the concepts of normal telephony with the signaling and how it translates to the PSTN, because at the same time, the PSTN, everyone wants it to go away, but we know it's not going to. And so there's this balance of legacy versus future that we always have to toe when we're working on this stuff.
Are there going to be any major announcements at KlueCon this week?
Usually there are. I don't know how major they'll be. Depends on who you are, if you find it major or not.
Understood. Well, I know it is the place to be in telecommunications. It's always leading-edge technology and normally thought out well for the non-proprietary organizations. So my hat's off to you guys and co-founders. Where can they find out a little bit more about FreeSwitch?
Well, FreeSwitch has a website at freeswitch.org for the community side of things. Find ways to check out the source code and news about what's changing in the code and all those kinds of things. There's also FreeSwitch.com for commercial support, which we do offer. We have a bunch of different packages to deal with companies that need help. They want to use FreeSwitch to deploy stuff and they want someone to work on it. Yeah, just to give them the advice they need or to work on their more priority issues that our knowledge is able to be leveraged. And then we also have KlueCon.com, which is a website for the conference, which tells everything about that and the whole schedule and how you can be part of it.
Looks like you have some really great speakers there this year, too. This is Don Witt with the Channel Daily News from Telecom Reseller. I'm speaking today with Anthony Minasali, the second, who is the inventor and the original author of FreeSwitch. Anthony, it was very insightful. I think a lot of our listeners understand where the technology originated and have a good feel for what KlueCon is all about, and I want to thank you very much.
Thank you. I look forward to seeing you.